Hi, well, it is very good to be back. I think it was over a year ago I was here last. So this is my first time in the new building. But yeah, so I've been asked to give an update, and I feel like I should do a quick recap. All right. So for those of you who may not be familiar with this part of the story, I grew up in New Covenant Fellowship. And that was way back when, Bob Yarborough days, okay, way back when, in the youth group of New Covenant, okay. Reached the point in my teenage years where I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Back then I was doing a gap year, trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to be. Everybody told me, you know, you got to pray for guidance, but it's lantern to your feet, not binoculars to your eyes, right? Lord took that, flipped it on its head, and gave me the next 5 years right then and there. Okay, so I prayed for that. He says, no. You're going to go to college at this college in Amarillo, and then after that, you're going on missions. Okay, so I said, okay, fine, I'll do that. So I did my 4 years at Amarillo and got all my pilot's licenses and all of that, and then found and married Sarah and brought her back to this church, okay, where we spent the next 5 years. You know, I was a flight instructor, and she got involved in the youth group, and both of us were on the Missions Trust Board for, you know, that time as well. As we were waiting on the Lord's final, we know we're called to Africa, but when do we go, you know? And so when finally we went, of course, New Covenant Fellowship was the ones that laid hands on us and sent us. And as part of that, y'all committed to help support us financially. That began, nearly 20 years of full-time ministry. All right? And so we packed our bags and moved with whatever we could carry on the plane to Botswana, and did whatever jobs were necessary at the ministry that we joined. We did a little bit of everything, okay? I went from maintenance and, you know, managing the vehicles and cleaning and all of that to eventually running the operations department and then starting an internship program with Sarah, okay? We did that for about 8 years. And then just when we thought things were starting to, we were starting to hit our stride, okay? We were just starting to hit our stride. The Lord created conflict and sent us somewhere else. Right? And that was a tough pill to swallow. But we said, okay, Lord, if not here, then where? And next thing he sent us to was the Philippines, where we supported another missionary for about 8 months. We were planning on being there long term as well. But we were warned by the Lord ahead of time, after we'd only been there for a couple of months, hey, this is a short-term assignment for you. We said, no, we're long-term people. We appreciate your input in our lives. You know, these were people we trusted, okay? These were long-time missionaries, the bishops. We had known them for a while, and they spoke into us and said, we really feel like the Lord is telling us this is a short-term assignment for you, okay? Soon after that, the one that we were sent there to support, her brother died. She left the mission field, and the Lord said, okay, time for you to go. So we said, okay, we will sell everything we own and move again. So we did that, and again we said, if not here, Lord, then where? Okay, and right around that time, we got an email from some friends in Botswana saying, hey, we were just thinking of you, and you know, we've got this ministry that you know, we were just asking who could run it, but you guys are comfortable there in the Philippines, so, you know, fine. You know, we said, all right, Lord, we hear that. And so we moved back to Botswana again, okay? And we were there doing ministry for another 8 years, okay? So it was like 8 years, 8 months, and then 8 years again. And again, just as we were starting to hit our stride, Okay. Sarah and I both have reached a point where we had raised up our replacements. Okay. Sarah raised up Reba, who continues to do Revelation Wellness Ministry there in Botswana now. And I had raised up Isaac Nkapang, who continues to run the churches that I was running while I was there. And just as we reached that point where we're hitting our stride and getting these guys to where they're going off on their own, you know, again, the Lord created some conflict and said, "You're gone." And so we said, "Okay, Lord, if not here, then where?" You know? And this time we felt like the Lord was saying, "Let's get your kids off to college. Let's go and support family for a while." Because while we were gone, you know, COVID happened. My father passed away, not from COVID, but he passed away during that time, and we weren't around for that. And my mother is aging and in need of more and more help. And we always said that we wished that we could be more of a support, but we were in another country. So it was all relying on my family and Sarah's family to do that. And so the Lord has, you could say, he has blessed us with the opportunity to look after my mother for a while and to focus on my kids. And so that's kind of where we're at. We started saying, okay, what do we do here, though? At first, we went up to Vermont because there was a position available up there. Okay, and so we said, okay, go up to Vermont. And that resulted in some really great transition time for my kids. They got to go to a private school. They had some wonderful Christian friends. My oldest son found who I predict will become his wife. We're not there yet, but it's looking that way. you know, just all three of them came into their stride as kids with friends now and all of that. That was always difficult in Botswana. We were the outsiders. So even as kids, they felt like the outsiders. So we did that in Vermont for a while. And again, we felt like the kids were doing great, you know, but the Lord created some conflict and gave us the boot again. Okay. And I'm going to stop right there on that one. And I want to talk a little bit about this one because this one is still fresh enough. And I'm still in that place where I'm not sure which lesson I should be learning on this one. Okay. You know, Abraham was kicked out of a lot of wells before he finally got to settle at one, right? So that's kind of what my life has been, a lot of being kicked out of wells that I've dug. And this one was interesting because the conflict was mostly against Sarah. Okay? It was me standing on the principles and saying, this is what I feel needs to happen. But the, shall we say, the attack came against Sarah more than it came against me. Okay? And I don't mind admitting that when we left, while I don't have any problems with forgiveness, I wanted justice. This was my wife we're talking about here. And so when we left, I said, Lord, you know everything that happened. I forgive them, I've let it go, but there should be some consequences here. And so what that is, I leave in your hands. You know, it was funny because the Lord had put them, the people who kind of crossed the line, I will say, he kind of put them in my hands, and I had the ability to basically destroy them. Okay? I could have written two letters, and that would have basically ended their careers, and it would have been truth. Okay, but not going to do that. Fine, I'm going to leave peacefully, walk away. You know, I'm not going to remain under that, but at the same time, I'm not going to go nasty. Okay, but I said, Lord, you handle that situation. Okay, and so there was the person, and then there was the leadership that did not kind of do their job to take care of that person, okay? And the leadership Lovely people, wonderful Christians, okay, but still did not do what they needed to do. And so I was expecting when I asked the Lord for justice when we left that that would be this person that crossed the line with Sarah. Okay. It was both. Okay. And within a year, both of them lost their jobs. And, you know, I would never have wanted the Christian leader to have lost his job, but that's what happened. And looking back, I have to say that's probably a certain type of justice from the Lord. So, yeah, you know, which lesson do you learn from that? Do you learn, yes, it's true that when you're a child of God, everybody else should be careful not to mess with you, because if you do decide to go to the Lord and ask for justice, you're going to get it and they're going to feel it. Okay? Do you learn the lesson? You don't need to stick up for yourself. You could turn the other cheek, because when daddy comes around, he's going to give him the smackdown. Okay? Same thing, right? Okay, that's fine. You can have that confidence to know. You know, what's that definition of meekness, right? You're not weak. It's those who have swords know how to use them and yet keep them sheathed. Okay? So I had the ability to take them out, but I chose to walk away and let the Lord handle it. And he took care of it, right? Or do you say, well, now wait a minute, because when Abraham dug those wells, he, when the conflict came, he left behind, and we say, well, Jesus said that the Lord sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So is it not? No, we leave the well behind for the unrighteous to be blessed by it, because we want even them to have an opportunity to receive from the Holy Spirit, you know? So do you learn? No, Kevin, you should have kept your mouth shut and not asked for justice, you know? And had it been me, I think I would have walked away again without asking for justice, but this time it was my wife. And I could say I'm a little on the overprotective side when it comes to the family, right? So, yeah, again, it's a little fresh. I'm not sure where I'm at with the Lord on that, but that's where that came to. So we moved back here, and I then sought the process of getting back to flight instructing again. Okay, so as we're looking after my mom and trying to usher the kids now off into their lives, I started looking at flight instructing, and that was a very long, arduous process to get medically cleared. It was, you know, it was like the gift that keeps on giving. You know, you get a test for one thing, you get that cleared, and it shows something else, and then you get that cleared, and it shows something else, you know, and the FAA are not patient when it comes to that kind of thing, and they're not quick to respond when you need them to respond. So it turned out to be almost a two-year process for me to get medically cleared. And at the same time, I mean, come on, I know pilots who fly for the airlines that have had heart attacks, you know, I'm like, I'm not, you know, but it's all about the paperwork, right? And how long it takes to get that paperwork done. You know, when it comes to the government, that's the bottom line. It's about, all about the paperwork. So I got through all of that March of this year, okay? And so March of this year, I marched myself into the closest FBO, flight instruction unit, here out of Manassas where I used to teach. And I found an instructor and said, hey, you know, I'm looking for someone to get me a flight review and get me back in the air. I just got my medical back. Okay. The lady that I found used to work for Dulles Aviation, the same outfit that I used to fly for, you know, back in the day. She knew Tom Adams and everybody else that I had worked for. So she says, yeah, absolutely, we'll get you back in the game again. And I said, well, yeah, it's probably going to take quite a few flights to get me proficient. It's been 20 years, you know, haven't touched a plane in 20 years. Two flights later, she signs me off for my flight review. Third flight later, the chief pilot, Doug Yurovich, hired me as a flight instructor, and I started teaching again after only three flights. Right? I was quick, okay? My first flight was an absolute comedy of errors. Not on the flying stuff. That's the thing. It's like the stick and rudder didn't go anywhere. I still was like riding a bike. I still got it. Okay. But I go out to the gate and I couldn't remember the gate code to get out to the planes. Okay. So I got a student here and I'm trying to have to call the others. Hey, what's the gate code? Yeah. Okay. Fine. Come back from the flight. Couldn't remember the code to get back in the building. Okay. Then I go to bill the student, and I do it wrong with the credit card and the billing and all the. So it's all the dispatch stuff. It's all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I've forgotten how to do all of that, and it's all changed since I was flying, you know? So the actual teaching somebody how to fly, again, it's old hat now. It feels very comfortable, even after only 6 months of doing it. But so I picked that back up real fast, and one of the things that I have been reminded of in teaching people how to fly is that teaching somebody how to fly is, it's more like teaching people how to have faith and how to live a godly life than I found missions work to be. Okay? I always felt like the best way to teach somebody, and a lot of this comes from my flying, is you demonstrate it, okay? They do it while you talk them through it, okay? Then they do it while you shut your mouth and watch them do it. And then you get out of the plane and let them do it, okay? That's how I am used to teaching, okay? But it's like, okay, all right, Kevin, give a lesson on healing. Okay, it's first step, I've got to do it. Wait a second. How does that work? Okay, all right. We're going to teach them a lesson on pick something. Okay, you know, okay, first step, you got to do it. Well, wait a minute, how does that work? You know, it's like, okay. So teaching it is a little bit different, and it's so much easier when it's flight instructing because it's like, I can absolutely show you exactly how to do it. Okay. I can show you. I have the ability. You have to learn how to hold the airplane exactly this way. You have to be able to butter those landings to where you can touch it down really soft. Nobody does that better than me. And I'm not even being arrogant when I say that. I go with other instructors, and after my landings, they're just like, daggone, that was soft. You know, I'm like, yes, okay, I know where the runway is. I can put this thing down really, really well. And even after 20 years of not flying, apparently I could still do it in gusting to 30, which is difficult for most pilots to do, but for whatever reason, I'm able to nail it. Okay, so, okay, I can show you how to do this. And then I feel confident saying, okay, now you try. And I'll talk you through it as you do it. You know? So yeah, I'm back into flying. I am enjoying it very much. Just at this point, wondering now, what do I do next, Lord? And the goal that the Lord has given me, the only direction that I've been given so far is you're here to look after your family right now. Okay, and so I've actually been, I'll say even partially blessed that I haven't had a full student load. And so that means I've got lots of time, okay? Time on my hands to help my mom, my kids, whatever's needed, I can go and do that. And Sarah is still loving her position. She is working still part-time out of the home for Revelation Wellness. She's their donor development person. So she does all of that for them, fundraising for the ministry, and she always did all of our fundraising, so that's kind of old hat for her, so she's very comfortable with that. And then the kids. Okay, so we've got Andrew. Now, Andrew is now graduated from high school. We raised an adult successfully, okay? He is doing a gap year up in New York with a Christian organization up there. And he is in that wonderful phase of his Christian walk where the scriptures are coming alive to him, you know, where he is like, I was just reading this and, you know, and he's like talking through everything and like the Bible all of a sudden makes sense to him, you know, and he is learning stuff like, he's like, yeah, I was listening to this guy talk about how, you know, everybody is doing these ministry programs, but that's not what it's about. You know, really ministry looks like just inviting people into your home and sharing your lives with them. And he's like, I was thinking, there was never a time in Africa where we ate alone. There was always people dropping in and having dinner with us. And, you know, I was like, you guys did exactly what they're teaching me I'm supposed to be doing in ministry, you know? And I'm like, okay, we do have a little experience with that. So, okay, yeah, I get that. So I'm enjoying watching him go through that phase right now where he has that young passion for the scriptures and learning all of this stuff. And I'm just like, great, go for it. You know, you're on point with that. Where he's going to go after that, no idea, you know, but he's doing this gap year and he really wants something outside. He doesn't want to be inside for whatever it is, you know. So he's out mountain climbing, he's out hiking, and he's like, how do I make a career out of this? And I'm just like, I hear you there. That sounds like a lot of fun. Then we have Piper. Piper is now in one of those. She was always our overachiever when it came to school. Okay, so she's the straight A student. She's now in one of those dual credit, graduate with your associate's degree programs. So she's a junior now. She'll graduate next year, and she'll already have an associate's in teaching when she graduates. So she's National Honor Society. She's, you know, everything a parent wants for their high school student, you know. And she's even like, okay, this year, you know, I'm joining track because I want to do a sport now. So she's just now joined track as well. She's working a job as a lifeguard at the wharf in Warrington, that indoor pool there. So she does that as well. She never stops. She's hardly ever home. She's got her license. She drives mom's car, and mom never gets to see her car anymore because Piper's taking it to college and taking it to school. You know, she's about ready to drop out of high school and just get her GED because it doesn't matter because she's going to get this associate's degree. And she feels like she's not learning anything in high school anyway. She just sits around, you know, everybody else is so far behind her. She's just like, why should I, you know? So we just smile and say, okay, that's what you want to do. You can do that. So Piper, we're just so proud of her. She's doing great. Whatever the Lord has for her, it's going to be amazing. So it's like her life is just being planned out for her right now. It's going really, really well. And again, like I said, with Andrew, wonderful young lady, Elise, who's been down here a couple of times. Her family is absolute wonderful Christians, and she's amazing, and we would love for her to be the next member of the family. But we'll see what Andrew decides to do there. Then we have Isaac. Now, Isaac is too young to be anything but just a kid. Things in the high school or the elementary school in Rappahannock are not what we would want them to be. He did not do well with friends, and the kids there are not exactly a good influence. And so he decided he was going to homeschool this year. And he decided that very last minute, like a week before school started. So, of course, Sarah had to figure out how to manage all of that. But it's mostly online. The public school does it. So he's reached the point now with it where he'll spend 2 or 3 hours doing schoolwork and he's finished the next 3 days so he can just take off, you know. So he's doing great with that. He is swimming a lot. I take him to the wharf and we do a lot of that. He's on a swim team, so he's enjoying that. And we're not worried about him, but he's the one that we have really left, that we don't yet see the empty nest vision for yet. But the other two are pretty much there. Okay? The other two are pretty much there. So, yeah. In terms of what's next for us, I feel like, you know, obviously we're here with family. My mom is to that point where she is transitioning from being able to do everything for herself to not being able to do everything for herself. She is starting to become forgetful, starting to have that issue where somebody needs to follow up and make sure she turns the stove off and things like that. which it's fine. She's still out driving for the volunteer fire department. Okay. So it's kind of hit or miss, right? Kind of hit or miss. Well, what's the story there? Fortunately, she doesn't do that alone. Usually there's somebody else in there, you know, in the car, and she's actually a pretty good driver. But so that's kind of where she's at, and we're just trying to assist with that. Now I have to kind of decide career-wise whether I want to, you know, go off to the airlines, do corporate flying, do whatever, or stick with flight instructing for a while longer. I feel like I could go a lot of different directions on that. And the Lord hasn't told me yet, and I am very used to clear signs from the Lord on what to do next. And I haven't gotten one, so there's not a lot of push for me. I mean, all of my friends are like, go apply for the airlines. PSA is hiring right now. You know, you could go, you've got the hours. Actually, I've got double the hours, almost triple the hours that I need in the aircraft to actually go and apply for these places. So it's highly likely I would get hired if I went and applied. But I don't have the oomph yet because I'm not sure that's the direction the Lord wants me to go. You know, and so there's that cross between, you know, Kevin, just go. And if the Lord shuts the door, he'll shut the door, but just go. And then there's the, are we waiting for direction? You know, I don't want to go the wrong way because I'm sort of waiting for direction. And since I've always had that, it's difficult for me to move without it. Yeah, not sure what on that. So in terms of how to pray for us, I would say pray for clear direction at this point. Okay, I've got doors open. It's not that. It's which one should I go through, okay? But the other thing I want to just mention is that Sarah and I never, during the entire time we were in ministry, ever had to worry about where our next meal was coming from. Not once. And that was, and we saw that in a lot of other missionaries. Okay, with a lot of other missionaries and they're sending organizations, they're sending churches, whatever. They struggled a lot more than we did. Some of that was because my dad taught me well how to budget and how to, you know, be smart when times were good so that you're ready when times are lean, you know. And so we had that. We strongly believe that you be super generous when it's not for you. And you be frugal when it's for you, okay? And the Lord always responds well to your giving. You can't outgive God, and the provision always comes no matter how generous you are over here. And over here, you're just being a little smart. You know, you're making sure that, you know, you're buying the Corolla and not the, you know, the big beast of a truck that burns a whole bunch of gas just because you want it, you know? And the Lord will push your Corolla through the sand all the way to all the villages you want to go to, and it will become like your four-wheel drive, and you'll learn to let the air out of the tires, and that will get you all the way there. And, you know, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, right? So, done all of that, and so because of that, yes, we didn't really struggle in terms of putting food on the table. But at the same time, we always had wonderful, faithful givers. Right? And New Covenant was a part of that. I mean, for what? 20 years. Over 20 years. Faithful, monthly, without hassle, without issue. You know, nobody looking over my shoulder saying, are you doing what you need to do? Because I'm not sure. You know, it was just, no, we trust you. We know you're getting the work done. And we did. We were. We were getting the work done all the time. Right? And because of that, Sarah and I never had to do what I've seen so many ministries do. I mean, we still get letters now, you know. And every ministry, it's an emergency. You know, they're trying to pull on that, you know, heartstrings. It's always for the kids, you know. The kids need, you know, it's like, okay, sure. But when do we reach the point where it's like, no, no, no. These are the people we support. Whatever they need to do with it, go. And you guys always had the vision for that. And we had enough other people that had the vision for that that we could just make ends meet if we were smart about it. You know, and so Listen, you have stored up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Very much so, you have. So where your treasure is, there your heart is. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And while we no longer need the monthly support, we do appreciate, and we know that those who do need it appreciate the monthly support. And so we do encourage you to continue giving to missions. You know, Sarah and I obviously are still supporting those that we raised up. We still, I actually found a church up in Vermont that is monthly supporting Isaac down in Africa. So that's great. So, and they're like, okay, you know, how much should we do? And I'm like, well, listen, if you did $300 a month, you'd be doubling the salary. And they're like, okay, $500 it is. They bought him a car, you know, so now he is, I helped him get his license, so now he's moving all over the place doing everything I used to do, and his car carries more than my Corolla ever did. So there you go. But at least he knows how to let the air out of the tires if he needs to. But yeah. So that's kind of it. Any questions? I'll put it to you guys now. You want to know? I did bring some pictures. I fired them out on an email, about actually five emails, because I could only put like four or five pictures on. But
I got the wave from Brandon.
Order doesn't matter. Throw them up. Throw them on up there. Obviously, this is our family right after coming back from Africa. Isaac's still a lot young there. We can keep going. This is a little bit more recent with our dog, Dakota. This is last Christmas, I think. This is me recently finishing my spin training with my chief pilot there. So he took me up there and flipped me a bunch of times to do that. Yeah. All right, next. What's we got?
2 to 3 years
since we've seen him. This is my office. Right. This was from last Saturday. You know, so yeah, office with a view, right? Okay, can't complain. This was me being overflown by a 777 right near about 1,000 feet over our heads. United 777. As I was coming back to deliver a plane for maintenance, we went up to Pennsylvania, and coming back, they flew us right by Dulles. And you know, we're listening as they're saying, oh, yeah, you see that little warrior down there? Okay, we want you to maintain at least 3,000. He's at or below 2, so just fly right over him. You know, we're just like, there he is. Okay. So, yeah. All right, next. What else we got?
That's what I have.
That's what you have. All right, there should be several other emails.
I only received the one.
Okay. All right.
Well, there you go.
There you go. All right, what else can I tell you? What do you want to know? Yeah.
Dakota.
Oops. Yeah, Dakota.
Was Dakota in Botswana with you?
No, so Dakota was my brother Jason's dog, and his family is a little allergic. He's one of those hyperallergenic dogs that usually aren't a problem, but I guess it wasn't enough for them. Their kids were still having a reaction. So he needed a home, and our kids love dogs, and so we took him on, and he's been a great family dog for us, still is. He's wonderful.
Kevin.
Where are you guys living? Mom right now?
Yeah, yeah. So we're living with my mom in Amosville. She's out 211 from Warrington. It's about an hour from here.
Could you explain how you and Sarah have developed your sense to hear clearly from the Lord, and how you've let that guide you through ministry?
Okay. So the first time that I really needed to hear from the Lord was when I knew I wanted to do a short-term mission trip. Right? It was with Teen Mania Ministries. I don't know if any of you remember Teen Mania. So they do the Acquire the Fire, and then you get these pamphlets that tell you all the places they go on missions, you know. And I wanted a challenge. I knew I didn't want to be staying in some, you know, cozy motel somewhere, you know, doing missions. So I looked at their brochure and looked at all the challenging places, and I really felt drawn to two different places. I felt drawn to Botswana and Albania. Okay? And I couldn't decide between the two. So I go to my mom, okay, whom I know hears from the Lord. So I said, Mom, I can't decide between which of these two. I feel drawn to both. What I did not know at the time was that I was being drawn to Botswana because that's my long-term calling, and Albania because that was the short-term where he wanted me now. So the draw was to both for good reason. I just didn't know that. And so my mom takes one look at the brochure, and she's like, oh, you're going to Albania. And I said, how do you know that? And she says, well, this guy is wearing a felt hat. I make felt hats. Go get me one. And I said, Mom, it doesn't work that way. She said, sure it does. That's exactly how it works. He put that picture in there for me to see that so that you would know which place to go. And I said, well, I appreciate that, Mom, but I'm going to go get confirmation from two other people. Okay? And she said, wise decision. So I asked two more people, and they both said, I'll be. So it's like, okay. So that's one way, all right? I've also gotten comfortable with the idea of shaking hands with a decision and waiting for peace, okay? So you're given a choice between two or three things, and you just decide, okay, I'm going to Albania. But you don't sign anything, you don't talk to anybody, or you only talk to your wife or whoever, you know, is making the decision with you, and you say, okay, we've decided, you do it. But you don't sign until you've had a couple of nights to wait on the peace of the Lord, right? And if you shake hands with that decision, you make the decision, and you actually go to move, and then the Lord says, no, don't do that. He says, oh, okay, all right, must be something else, okay? And I've learned to trust that. You know, and so usually I go to step out, and then something will block and say, no, don't do that. So again, when it comes to flying, I could just as easily say, okay, I'm going to put my name out there everywhere and go and step out and see what happens, you know. Just not ready to do that yet. But yeah, so those are two of the ways. Typically, it has been about seeking and trying to understand and being left not knowing. And then eventually that narrows it down, but doesn't give me the clear exact. And then I have to step out and look for peace. Okay? It was not that way when I sought to get an answer on marrying Sarah. Okay, that was I'm going to fast, Lord, until you give me an answer. Okay, that took 3 days, and I got a clear answer from the Lord. Okay, that was yep, she's the one, marry her. Okay, and that was obviously one of the biggest decisions of my life. All right, and so that one I did that way. So yeah, it's happened on a number of different ways. In terms of the conflict and causing us to move, I feel as though in the moment, I was always very frustrated by that because I felt like, Lord, if you had just asked us to leave, we would have left. Okay? But he didn't. He created conflict. And then after the fact, he had two separate people say, the Lord created this conflict on purpose because you need to be over here. You're done over here. But I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. If he had just said go, I would have gone. And I've proven that because he said, go to Botswana the first time. So I went, you know. So what's the deal, Lord? You know, but he doesn't answer that question. No. You have to be left knowing that this is his way and you will deal with it. So, yeah. Does that answer your question? All right. What else?
Piper told me that she felt closer to Botswana than America years ago. And are you feeling a pull to go back there by chance?
Well, listen, when you have family on both sides, you know, and they are family to us now, there's always that pull. I would love to go back and visit. I don't know that I'm feeling the pull like I did to actually move there again. But once the kids are all out of the nest, that's a strong possibility, you know. Sarah and I go wherever we're told. And if that's where he tells us to go, then that's where we will go. So,
thinking about that for weeks.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. You know, when things are hard here, it's very easy to say, well, maybe this is the next kick out and we'll go back to Botswana where it's easy for us, you know. But my experience is that if he kicks us out here, he's going to send us somewhere where it's also hard. Not back to where it's comfortable, but where it's hard, you know. And there's comfort in some sides of it and not in the other. So like being here, it's comfortable being able to stay with my mom in terms of finances. I mean, bills-wise, oh my gosh, we've got it easy. You know, the Lord has provided for us financially in a way that I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I don't have any bills because my mom's house, you know, I don't pay any rent, you know, and so it's like, okay, great. I mean, even in the midst of making peanuts, because neither of us has anything but a part-time job, if you'll think of it that way, we're still able to put away money for our kids' college now. And at the same time, the Lord has caused my stocks to go through the roof from when I used to work at Dulles Aviation, you know. And so it's like, oh, okay. You know, the Lord is providing for us financially in a way that I, you know, so that part of it's easy, okay? And getting back into flight instructing in terms of teaching, that's kind of old hat for me, and I feel very comfortable in that. And I get to go and fly, you know, so that part of it's fun and easy, you know. But taking care of someone who's aging, dealing with all of the issues that come with that, right? Because that's not fun, and that's not something I know how to do well, right? So very uncomfortable for us. And so for him to take us back to Botswana where it would be comfortable, no, my guess is if he took us back to Botswana, it would be somewhere in Botswana we've never been, and we'd be starting all over again. Because that seems to be what he does. So dig a new well. You don't get to redig the old one. No, 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 no. Go dig a new one. This one's there. That's fine. If somebody fills it in, your sons will come and, you know, redig it out. But you're going to go dig a new one. That's what you do. You dig wells. Anybody else? All right. That's all I have. Thank you.